Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Industry in Transition Zoomcast. I'm thrilled to have Ron Kruszewski, the CEO of the firm we all know and love so well, Stifel. Nicholas, do I say Stifel? I'm friendly enough to say Stifel, right? All right, so CEO of Stifel. Thanks for being with us, Ron. Great to have you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love your topic, industry in transition. I've been in this business almost 35 years, and the industry's always in transition. Tony, let's go.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's also the thing that everybody's, you know, it's the good and bad about this business, right? If you're not ready to change and you're not adapting, and you've done it for so many years, tell us a little bit about, you know, we've just been through tremendous changes, right? And so there's a relative amount, even for an industry that always changes, there's a little bit of anxiety out there about what's next, because we have a lot of stuff going on. What are you seeing out there?
Well, you know, look, first of all, if it wasn't for change, if it wasn't for anxiety, if it wasn't for uncertainty, we wouldn't have a business. All right. So let's that's what we do, is we provide advice trying to understand and answer uncertainty. So it's omnipresent, and that's actually good for our business. So change is good. Look, as I sit here today, it's the day after Labor Day, you know, in my traditional way of thinking, it's the start of the new business year. It's not the end of the year. It's always, to me, as we start after Labor Day. And look what's going to happen in the next 10 days, okay? I think these are going to be harbingers of what can happen. And I don't want to, I'm not taking political sides, Tony, but one, we're going to have an election in Canada. You know, that's going to be interesting, what happens in Canada. You have a recall election in California, and you're going to have a bill that's going to approach $4 trillion with pay fors that are all going to be crystallized in the next 10 days. And I think that these are interesting times and are going to shape market sentiment going forward.
So I don't want to get too political about it either, but I think there was an idea, let's reshape the tax code, let's reshape, you know, the way the economy is going to work going forward, let's redistribute wealth. And, you know, with the elections that we all saw last year, whether it was, I want to get rid of this guy versus I really embrace all these ideals. And now that people are looking at stepped up cost basis, you know, increasing capital gains, it's scary from our point of view. Like you said, yeah, I'm glad we're here to advise people, but what do you say to them?
Well, you know, there it can be balance in everything. And so, you know, do I see the corporate tax rate going up a little bit? I do. I think that the economy, we'd still be competitive, say, at 25% rate. We shouldn't get too excited about that. We should get excited about things where we are taxing capital formation and taxing our investors. That's never proven to be good policy. And I think that it's something that you really need to think about as we talk about these reforms. Furthermore, I will tell you that I do think that Senator Manchin kind of has it right, and that there should be a little bit of a pause here. When we've spent almost $8 trillion since the pandemic began, and adding another $4 trillion seems like a little reflection would be good for our policymakers.
And the other interesting thing about this, because usually when there's a transition in government or people start looking at things like, you know, increasing taxes, that usually comes against a backdrop of a successful economy or an economy that has really steady legs, because you're saying now it's almost like, let's take some chips off the table and get some more taxes and put something in for the working man kind of thing. But we're looking at inflation. We had a jobs report that was, you know, goofy, because it's based on this weird, we're kind of paying people to stay home kind of thing. So it's not the usual economy that these guys are looking into to raise taxes on.
Well, again, I think it's there's a lot of policy and there's a lot of changing the tax code that, you know, doesn't have to be a bad thing. Some of the policies that I'm hearing, like eliminating step up in basis and changing capital gains, be the same as ordinary income. Regardless of what you're doing with the money, whether whatever programs it's funding or not funding, that's one debate. The real question is that good economic policy to drive economic growth and jobs? And I don't think it is. And that's speaking as a financial executive, not as a member of any political party.
Right. I think hand in hand with that, which we've been thinking about, some people more than others, some worried more than others, is regulation is sort of increasing alongside that in our industry. And again, I think you make the argument some of that's good. You know, we want to have some of that. What are you seeing? I think you're a lot closer to this than I am, and a lot closer than most advisors. So from your point of view.
Well, the pendulum always swings depending on, you know, which political party is in power. And so the fact that regulations are increasing today is not surprising to me. Some of the things that we're talking about regulating and how regulating is surprising me. So for instance, ESG is a very important topic, and climate is an important topic, and we should be talking about this. But, you know, trying to mandate through SEC disclosures, in one hand, we're talking about markets, but that concerns me. That's where I think that we need to think about what we're trying to do on a policy side and how we're trying to do it. So those are things that I think about in terms of regulation and trying to achieve policy goals that you can't do through law that you try to do through regulation.
In terms of, what do advisors have in their toolbox to sort of help shape regulations? I mean, you're in a position as a CEO of a big firm, you can maybe make some, what can advisors do? Who can they talk to?
Well, the first thing I say, at least at Stifel, what the advisors have in their toolbox is their brains, okay? Their individual views, their understanding of their clients' particular situation, their understanding of the risks and the objectives. And so the advisors, I like to often say what my opinion might be, but one of the things that I cherish about Stifel, and I think that our advisors cherish about being here, is that they think about what to do. They take all the information. So I would tell the advisors out there, just use your brain. It's gotten you this far. It'll get you through this.
Some of the we talked about, there's a backdrop of inflation and some things with and regulation, but there are other threats to advisor business. You and I have talked about this briefly before. GameStop, digital currencies. These things have some real consequences, even though they might be, ethereal.
Well, I think that, as I've said, these are change. That's change. It's innovation. Anytime you have innovation, especially to the scope and scale that people think blockchain is going to be, you're going to have speculative type situations as people try to predict the future. And that's in one hand, that's what you're seeing with crypto. It's going to be very volatile. I, for one, do not believe that it's a store of value. If you want to trade it, that's one thing. You can also go to Vegas and gamble. That's what I feel that is today. GameStop and the meme stocks are a different animal. It's a perception of value that's different than the way that I think. I think discounted cash flows, some of these new investors don't look at it that way. They look at value differently. I'm cautious before I criticize that, although my experience tells me that at the end of the day, value is an economic value, not in just popularity. So we'll see how this ends. But I think it can end not very well for some of these speculative asset classes.
I mean, earnings are supposed to drive markets, right? Not social media. So that was technically right.
Well, I guess, but if the markets are driven by social media, then we should come to understand that it's the perception of value is something that we all need to understand. I'm old school, so I think discounted cash flows and growth, dividend paying ability, gaining market share. Someone else may think it's merely the popularity on Reddit. That may be the answer.
They're trying to talk about regulation. They're trying to change some of the way the social media and the social groups, you know, talk about investing, right? They're trying to regulate that because they're seeing a whole bunch of, you know, I think they're a little behind there, you know, where they need to be. But that also maybe points out, you know, some difficulties and differences with us and getting involved with the next generation of investors. You know, there's, you know, hue and cry in our business. What are your thoughts on that, you know, going forward?
Well, I think the SEC is trying to get their arms around this quote gamification and how people are being influenced. Some may prodded. What is causing some of the volumes that we're seeing and the trading behaviors that we're seeing? And I do think that as is in the special, I forget the name of it. You know, if you don't know the product online, then you're the product. That's true a lot. What's going on here? So I do think there's real challenges for the industry to understand gamification. And second of all, Tony, I really believe that Secretary Gensler is really thinking about market structure and payment for order flow and all rebates and all the and liquidity pools and dark and lit markets. These are things that I truly believe will change in the next half decade. And investors need to be aware of that.
Yeah. And I mean, look, there's some stuff I like that's moving forward. I like that you can buy half shares and partial shares and then do stuff. I think that opens up markets, you know, for people. And that's the way for us as an industry to sustain our business and what we do. We need to get more people involved in it, but, you know, maybe not like they're playing it on their phone. That might be the.
Well, I think that if people are going to take time on their phone and that time is spent investing, some may say speculation, some may say investing, but if you're spending your time learning the markets and learning how to invest, I think that that's a good thing. But we also need to understand the pitfalls of the current market structure. And I think that's what the SEC is doing. I think they're asking great questions. I look to be a participant in getting some of those answers.
Great. Well, we're also, you know, we got here. It's been a long road with COVID. I know you've had offices open and you're in the office now, obviously. Where do you see this going? What are you guys gonna do going forward? We sort of get a new variant by the day.
Well, I think I actually that's probably the future, isn't it? I believe that. I'm not a doctor, so I don't profess to understand all the deep medical, you know, implications of a coronavirus. I do believe that variants are here to stay. I believe that this virus is here to stay. It's not going to get eradicated. And I think that we need to adjust to life with what will be the ZZ variant at some point. You know, at Stifel, we're just bringing people back to work. We're doing it safely. We think that's very important. We've said October 1st, but we'll be flexible on new developments. But as society, I think that this coronavirus or COVID-19 is going to be with us, not for the next 6 months, but probably the rest of my life.
Right. We've had changes in due to COVID and people are looking at things like, you know, particularly in our business, you look at real estate. I know we've talked a little bit about that. Has your attitude towards what the future office might look like changed at all? Or do you think it's going to be flexible? Because typically, just so everyone knows, you guys typically sign long-term leases. So you're in there for 10 years if you can get it, right? Because you get a better deal.
Yeah, I think that we all learned that the way that you work has changed, and the flexibility has changed, and we've learned a lot. We're doing this call, obviously, on Zoom. Yet, do I believe that we're going to close all of our physical locations and work remotely? I do not believe that. And guess what? I'm saying it digitally, so I know this is in history, and you'll be able to look back 3 years from now and say you were either an idiot or whatever. But no, I believe that human interaction is very important to creativity, to change and everything. And so we are going to support, working together.
Yeah, that's great. Um, So the last year, I think the stock price went up 25%, something like that, in the teeth of all that. So you're doing something right. And I know that also been doing some good recruiting and things like that. And you have an open house that we've been advertising. The last one was a big success. I've heard from a bunch of people that it was a lot of fun and that you actually got some good recruits out of it. So that's happening again.
We did. I mean, our financial advisor, we call it our financial advisor open house. So I want to invite everyone. It's September 15th, 11:30 Central Time. You can register today. Go to choosestiefel.com. I love that moniker, because that's what we want people to do. And just come listen to our story. I think you'll see a very capable firm in technology with the right culture and the right attitude, which is advisor-centric. So come and learn a little bit more. And I'm excited to meet new advisors every day.
Yeah, well, that's the fun part of the job, I'm sure, for you. I know it is for you. Also, you can find out on Advisor Hub site as well. We have a bunch of places to register for it, so that's kind of cool.
That's cool. Put it on the front page, would you?
I think I do. I do have it on the front page.
All right.
I'm pretty positive it's there. Okay, if not, Pat, make sure you put it on the front page now before Ron gets off this call. Anything else that we didn't talk about? We will do this again, because I know everyone loves hearing from you, but I feel like we got a good update on, you know, where you are and some of the challenges ahead. But is there anything I didn't mention?
No, I would like, I mean, I sort of feel in our business, hope always springs eternal. You know, there's always challenges. I just want to sort of end this just on a positive note. I am very optimistic about our business, despite all the challenges. The advice-driven business is going to flourish, and I'm really excited about it. So I worry about the short-term events, but when I look forward for the next 5 or 10 years, which, by the way, I intend to have this call with you 5 or 10 years from now, I'm not going anywhere. I really want to just share. Today, I sort of just have a skip in my step because I'm optimistic about the future.
That's great. And like you said, if there were no challenges, you wouldn't need advisors anyway. If there were no problems, you wouldn't need CEOs. So
And I'd like to think that we do need CEOs. I hope, at least.
Me too. Hey, Ron, it was great seeing you. Thanks for spending some time with us. And like I said, we'll do this again.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing everyone at our open house. Tony, always a pleasure. And to everyone, take care and be optimistic. We'll see you.
Thanks, Rob.